But again, we're starting. I want to just put these thoughts back up for background with the admonition that we see ourselves as living sacrifices presented before God, holy sacrifices presented before God. We're presenting ourselves for transformation, to learn to think like our Father, and that out of that transformation, out of the renewing of our mind, that then we give convincing evidence that God's will is good. I remember when I was in college, again, early 1800s, but when I was in college, I took a course in speed reading. And now I wish they'd also had a course in speed writing. But what I do with speed writing is not legible. This is barely legible. But we're recognizing this is the background and the foundation of everything he's addressing in this chapter. That God's saying, bring your whole life to me. Offer me back your whole life. I've given you everything. I've given you my son's death, so I'm not asking you for a death back. For some of us, one day a death may be the next step of obedience. For some of us, one day a death may be the next step of offering back to God. But that's not the requirement. The requirement, the harder requirement in some ways, is now bring me your life. Live for me. Bring your thoughts and bring your thinking to me. Not just your belief, not just your beliefs, not just your doctrine. Bring your day-to-day thinking to me and learn to think like me. Be transformed. So that you don't justify why you look like the world. You aggressively go after being different than the world to think like the Father. That's his call for me and that's his call for you. That we keep being transformed. But he goes on. And again, we looked at this where, just very briefly, where he's saying, now, part of thinking like the God is have, like the Father is have this wisdom that we see ourselves as members of a body. That we not think more highly of ourselves than we ought means that we think of ourselves individually and isolated, and we somehow believe that because of my walk with God, because of the Bible and the Holy Spirit, I don't need you, or you don't need me, that we're just going to each do our own Lone Ranger thing, and God is declaring that is not the way your Heavenly Father thinks. Your Heavenly Father isn't thinking that you're supposed to do it alone. He's already thinking that you're a member of a body, and we're learning to think like Him. And then we talked briefly about this. Abhor evil in me. There's plenty of other passages that address the issue of how I hate evil in the world. But this passage is about my inner life. And so that I'm learning to recognize and detest, abhor what's evil and unfinished and ungodly in me. And then he goes on and says, not just abhor it, overcome it with godliness, with the character of Jesus Christ. That's the background of what we're looking at today. Look at verse 9. I'm sorry, look at verse 10. He says, now be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. That this devoted leads to giving preference. And that's one of the things that we'll see throughout this passage. I can't just isolate pieces, and the Word of God is so like this, and the work of God is so like this. You and I don't have the freedom to just say, I like this piece. This piece is easy for me. You know what? This piece fits my personality. I'll pick out this piece and work on it. Then over and over again, God will keep showing us that piece is connected to the part you don't like. That piece that's easy for you is connected to the part that will mean you have to die to self to grow in. that the piece that you like is devoted or that you feel comfortable with, that's connected to something that is way out of your natural reach and that's going to involve a deeper surrender to the life of Jesus Christ within you. So we get to look at that right now, where he's saying, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This devoted in love means I give preference to another. And Al read the passage, which we read just a few weeks ago. But Al read the passage in Philippians 2, and we won't go back to right now. But it's the passage where he's saying, now, be of the same mind toward one another. Be in agreement on this, that you will put the other person's need half a step ahead of your own. Be in agreement on this. In a sense, what he's saying is, I don't want there to just be one guy sitting in this chair and one guy sitting in that chair and one woman back over there and another woman here. And those are the ones in the church who will have that attitude. And we can all look up to him and go, wow, isn't it nice that Steve is so devoted to others in brotherly love? Too bad I can't be that way, but you know, it's not really my style. No, I'm actually, yeah. Yeah.
Don't even worry about that, Rich.
Okay. Not your gift, okay. Exactly. That he's saying, no, this is a calling for every single one of you to be devoted to this mindset. That you're learning what came from Jesus' own life and example, and he now dwells within us. And he uses Jesus as the example that it was not Jesus' need to come to the planet. You know, and this is big, majestic, large idea stuff that is sometimes hard to get a hold of. It was not in Jesus' personal need to come be mocked and ridiculed and tortured and put to death. It was not Jesus' personal need to experience the Father's wrath. Between Father, Spirit, and Son, there was perfect union. Between Father, Spirit, and Son, there was perfect acceptance. And between Father, Spirit, and Son, there was a perfect cohesiveness of thinking and choosing and doing. Jesus had no reason to be condemned and die. And the whole point of that Philippians 2 passage is that Jesus said, you know what? But Gil needs someone to die for his sin if he's ever going to be forgiven. And Jeannie needs somebody to die for her sin if she's ever going to be forgiven. And on, every single one of your names and my name go there that Jesus said, for that individual who needs a sacrifice, for this person, I will die. And that I will die for them, as Romans 5 says, I will die for them even though right now they're my enemies. Because it's what they need. It's not what I need. It's what they need. And now he's saying, actually keep learning and growing in this mindset, that we're learning from that and maturing in applying that to here, so that somehow I'm able to look into Scott's life and Scott's able to look into my life, and we get to know each other's life enough to say, I see something of encouragement or gifting or teaching, something of support, something financial, something of effort and labor. There is something that Scott needs that I'm equipped to share with him. And Scott looking into my life, who says there's something that Reg needs that I'm equipped to give him. And then Scott and I are of the same mind that we're willing to share that back and forth with each other. And that you and I are called to keep growing that mindset. Now, here's one of the things that I know is easy for me. It's easy for me to have that mindset for someone who's already been that or done that for me. That's actually easy. You know, wow, I remember when you were here for me. Let me know when I can help you out. And guess what? Jesus said, you know what? If that's all you do, you've done nothing different than the Gentiles. You've done nothing different than the world. You haven't excelled into the supernatural. You're still operating in the natural. If all you do is just give back what you've received from someone else. And you just so do the swap. Because part of this is taking us beyond the comfort zone. So let's look back at Romans 12 where he takes this idea further. In verse 16, using the same phrase that Philippians 2, he says, be of the same mind toward one another. So again, he's saying, let this be a fellowship-wide mindset. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And do not be wise in your own estimation. Now, there are times, there are times where I feel like something just jumps out at me. And it's like I'm reading a passage, and I bet you get this too, where you're reading a passage and the meaning just seems so clear. And part of it is that over and over again this week, God kept taking me back to that one Would you like to say this for me? Okay. God kept taking me back to that one passage to think about it and pray about it and think about it and pray about it more. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And in my mindset, I can have a certain vision of lowly. And lowly might be someone who's poor and uneducated. And you might have a different mindset of lowly. But part of what God is challenging is whatever your mindset of lowly, I want that to be removed from your filtering process when you're choosing who to sit with and who to pray with, when you're choosing who to fellowship with, when you're choosing who to receive from and who to give to. I want that to not be charity. I want it to be fellowship. You know, we've taken the word charity, and biblically, charity just means love. So yes, he wants it to be charity in that sense. But the way our culture has done it is charity is something we do for someone lesser. That's often the mindset of charity. Well, you know, I've been blessed with finances, so I'm going to write a check here, and I'm going to send it to this organization, and then they're going to go feed poor people and hungry people, and I've done charity. But he's going way beyond the willingness to do something for someone to now pursue something with someone. So he's saying, do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Now, I don't want to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But again, he's saying, be of the same mind. This is something for our whole fellowship. And I don't want to name names, but I think there are some of you that excel at this. There are some of you that I've observed that you are really well matured in your freedom and your ability to associate with anyone, anywhere. And that reflects the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. And that reflects what he's talking about here. But the challenge is that our whole fellowship would be growing in that mindset. That the person that you would think of as lowly might be different than the person that the next one next to you would think is lowly. But that each of us is setting aside that mindset of division. And we're saying, this is someone I'm willing to be brothers with, sisters with. This is someone I'm willing to associate with. But he takes it even further with this one. And do not be wise in your own estimation. So this idea of out of this preference to one another, I'm now going to associate with lowly. Now, I'm not kidding here. I'm not just saying this to be to make a point. I am confident that for some people, I'm the lowly. And it might be about finances. It might be about degrees of education. It might be about height. It might be about all kinds of things. That there might be somebody who looks at me and says, wow, okay, with the help of God, I'm willing to associate with Reg. And it'll be a supernatural effort, Stephen, but you can do it. Even if it's not your gift. Okay. Thank you. I'll be the guy. You're going to lend me your little Morocco shaking thing because that'll be the gift. That'll be the limit of my participation in the worship team. And even that I will get wrong. By the way, I actually do want to let you know, when we're clapping and we're singing, I don't clap. And please know this. I'm serious. I'm not refraining from clapping because I'm not celebrating. I'm refraining from clapping because, just like talking, I can't do it well. So after about 10 repetitions, I'm clapping a different rhythm than the rest of you. So, yeah. Which is also why I'm not a drummer. But you're working on it and improving on it. So this recognition that the lowly is a completely subjective challenge for each one of us. But he's now saying not just associate with the lowly, but he says this, don't be wise in your own estimation. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And here's just a tiny sliver of God's challenge about wisdom. Starting in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And he goes on, obviously for the entire book, saying, here's more wisdom. Now, some of you have been Christians for a few years. Some of you have just been Christians for a little while. But here's something I'm confident. Even those who maybe have been believers for just a little while, by your association with the Word of God, by your worship, by your time meditating and conversing and talking with other believers, your fellowship with other believers, I am confident that you are wiser today than you were a year ago. Now, some of you can look back into years of foolishness in the past, and sometimes even after you were a believer, and still recognize, wow, Father, thank you. I have genuinely moved forward in wisdom. I am a wiser man. I'm a wiser woman today than I was back in that period of my life. I would expect that all of you, in fact, let me just ask this, and I'm going to ask it real general so I'm not embarrassing anybody. If you know that you yourself have grown in wisdom, if you know that someone in your family, your husband, your wife, your children, maybe even your parents, if you know that somebody in your family has grown in wisdom, if you know that somebody in your circle of fellowship has genuinely grown in wisdom, where you know it, you've observed their life and you see a growth in wisdom, raise your hand. Okay. You just know somebody, yourself or someone you know that's genuinely grown. As far as I could tell, everybody raised their hand. So here he gives this confusing thing in Romans 12 where he says, do not be wise in your own estimation. And yet we should be able to celebrate and rejoice and give God glory for our growth in wisdom. It's something we're called to do, and if we're being obedient to that and we're doing the right things to nourish that, we should be able to say, everybody in this room who's a believer should be able to say that to some degree, I'm wiser today than I was in the past. So what is he saying when he says, do not be wise in your own estimation? And there's a couple of points here. One is in your own estimation, but there's also there's another area that we'll look at here. First of all, in your own estimation means you're not the definer of wisdom. You and I don't get to establish our own wisdom. That if I'm going to pursue real wisdom, I recognize that this is under the authority of God's Word, and I am subject to the body. In Ephesians 5, we get to the part where he's saying, you know, wives, be subject to your husbands. But he starts one verse earlier by saying to the whole body, all of you, be subject to one another. So that if I'm going to grow in genuine godly wisdom, if you're going to grow in genuine godly wisdom, part of this being members of one another, part of this learning to think like the Father, is that I'm recognizing some real wisdom in my life must come to me through you, collectively, and occasionally individually. Some of you will need to speak wisdom into my life. I will need to speak wisdom into some of your lives. All of you at some point, all of you who are believers, will at some point be given a moment of opportunity to speak wisdom into somebody else's life. And again, it's wisdom that comes from God. James talked about the wisdom that comes from God is peaceful wisdom. It's not contentious wisdom. It's not you have to be like me. It's, you know what? I get to challenge you that you and I both keep growing to be like God. That means I can come to you and speak that word of wisdom while I'm not finished. Because I'm not the source of the wisdom. I'm not the definer of the wisdom. The Father's heart and mind and His Word are the source and the definer of wisdom. So we get to come to each other while we're all unfinished. Your child, if you're a parent, if your child brings you truth that reflects the Word of God, you get to be corrected by it. Now, kids, do that carefully. Do that with respect. But he really is saying every believer gets to be ready to receive this. And now this is the lowly part. To be associating with the lowly is that I don't, how would I put this? I don't disqualify the source. I don't disqualify the source based on my judgments of lowly. Is that still a word? Okay. That I don't disqualify. So when I'm being told to associate with lowly, he's immediately connecting that to this. And here's the point. This means I remain teachable. That's a simple word that we should understand. I remain teachable, and I'm willing to let the Word of God and the truth of God and the wisdom of God come from anyone in the body of Christ. Now, and that, again, that lowly might include the fact that I see, you know what, this person just barely understands the Word of God. And I've been studying the Word of God for 75 years. Not really. Not me. But no matter what you're standing in your walk with God, that you're really saying, Father, I'm willing for a child to correct me and teach me with wisdom that comes from you. I'm willing to have a brand new believer teach me and correct me, because they might see something of the Word of God or see something in my life that I'm blind to. And Father, it's not because I was supposed to get it all done alone. You intended that I get it from them. So there is a prideful part of me, and I'm being serious, there's a prideful part of me that wishes nobody would ever have to correct me. There is that prideful part of me that wishes that anything somebody comes, you know, as soon as they start to say the word, I go, oh, you know, this morning in the word, I was meditating on that very passage, and God taught me that thing you were getting ready to say, so you don't need to say it. Thank you, though. There is a prideful part of me that wants to be half a step ahead of God having to bring input into my life in a way that's humbling. That whether it's my wife, whether it's my daughter, whether it's a brother or sister in the body, that it's not fitted to my flesh to be corrected. There are very few people, in fact, I would say, that it's fitted to your flesh to be corrected. But the more we mature in Christ, the more we can recognize, but that's the mindset that I'm being asked to grow, that I actually choose a teachable mindset, and I keep agreeing with God, Father, anybody in the body of Christ is free to come to me with things you want to tell me. And I want to have a heart of humility, not haughty, but humble enough to receive that teaching. Now, here's one thing I know. You will probably face a challenge in this area this week. I will face a challenge in this area this week. Actually, God didn't wait for the next week. I will face a challenge in this area because God's saying, I'm putting it in front of you. Are you really willing to do it? Because part of it is, it's easy to agree with doctrine. And this transformation of the mind that this whole chapter is about, this renewing of the way I think, means please do not settle for just thinking that I have a good idea. Go operate. Go think through the week. Go respond and react to moments on the basis of your agreement with this idea. Plan to be challenged and plan to apply this truth. So that actually gets to be part of our wisdom right now, is that right now while we're sitting here together and we don't know what's coming yet for the week, that we would actually be saying, Father, I'm willing to learn something this week from an unexpected source in the body of Christ. I'm willing to learn something this week from someone who in one way or another maybe is under my authority or in some way has less than me in some way that matters to me. They have less time in the Word. They have less history of fellowship with God. They have less success in life. They have less practical wisdom for living, that I just seem to be ahead of them a few steps. That I'm actually agreeing with you that those do not measure the power of your Spirit in the life of a believer to speak truth into the life of another believer. Now, here's also part of the challenge. If this is true, and if you define yourself as the lowly, because there are all kinds of ways that we can do that, where we can feel insecure and we can feel inferior and we can disqualify ourselves, because that can work both ways. I can disqualify myself. And I could say, you know what, Father, I haven't been a Christian long enough. I see something in that person's life that I think I could give some truthful encouragement or challenge to, but I haven't been a believer long enough. I haven't been a part of this church long enough. Or you know what, that person's really successful in some area of life that I just seem to struggle and stumble. I'm not qualified to speak truth into their life. And that will be a lie from the enemy, not a truth that came from your heavenly Father. So that part of your agreement, the flip side of this, is that if you define yourself as the lowly in some relationship, or if I define myself as the lowly in some relationship, that I not silence the Holy Spirit if there's something I have to encourage or challenge or teach that person. And boy, is that easy to do. In our culture, where there are so many ways of measuring people, that is easy to do, to disqualify ourselves, probably almost as easy as disqualifying somebody else. Expect to be challenged this week in some area, one way or the other, maybe both, where you're the lowly or you're the one being challenged to share and receive something and associate more deeply with someone. Now, okay. No, I'm not going to do it. Okay, we're gonna get to something next week. I know if I start the next thing, the roast will burn. So we will get to things next week. The hamburgers will burn. Yeah. Something will happen. I won't be able to shut it down halfway through. But please pray about this. This is not just an interesting idea God presented in Scripture for us to go, well, that's a nice, clever use of words there about not being haughty and being willing to associate with the lowly. Absolutely expect my flesh and your flesh to be challenged by this, where we're recognizing my devotion to someone, where is it? My devotion to someone in brotherly love, my association with the lowly will mean I need to give or receive something deeper, something more personal, something more challenging. And I want to decide right now that, Father, I'm really ready to think that way with you. I'm ready to be transformed into a deeper way of agreement in the real world and in my actual relationships. Let's pray. Father, again, we recognize there is just more here than we can mine quickly. But Father, I pray that the nuggets of gold that you gather for us, we wouldn't simply admire. We wouldn't put them on a shelf and admire them. But the treasure you give us, we would spend. Father, we'd go distribute the treasure through our week and through our day. That we'd go take the treasure and spend it in our relationships. Father, this is a great treasure, that because we are sons and daughters of a living God, because we are seated in a position of glory, because our glory with you is an absolute rock-solid purchased certainty that cannot be lost or threatened now, that just like your Son, we are now free to humble ourselves and to be of service to one another. We're now free to humble ourselves and be taught, be teachable, be correctable, be challengeable by one another. Father, I thank you that every man, woman, and child in here who has put their faith in Jesus Christ is a fully qualified son of God seated in Christ at your right hand, where there is no young or old, there's no male or female, there's no rich or poor, there is no true Christian and half Christian, that everyone who's actually put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation is now seated in a position of full qualified sonship. Father, help us to receive that and to give it back. I pray that this week when we face those challenging moments, Father, that your Spirit would remind us of this truth. That we'd prepare for that moment by agreeing with this truth in meditation, in conversation, out loud with you. That we'd prepare to receive and give supernaturally in the body of Christ your truth distributed as you will within the body. Father, help us to not just try to find a way to do this at the surface level so we can avoid the real thing. Help us to go for the real thing. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ dwelling within us, as always, is our only power to grow in these things. So again, Father, as a body, as Grace Bible Fellowship, this small gathering of believers on the planet Earth, we agree that Jesus Christ is our life and our power. In Jesus' name. Amen.